Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
I've said many times, you know, Mama, if you're out there and you're embarrassed, you don't need to be. You don't have to be upset. I'm not mad. I just want you to come home. I just want you to get in touch with me. And I just want answers at this point. I still feel like she did not just up and leave, though. To me, that doesn't add up. I have all kinds of theories of what could have happened, but they're just theories, so there's nothing. It's like her and her vehicle disappeared, and we have no idea where, like, from what point it disappeared.
At 8:30 p.m. on December 9th, 2001, 38-year-old mother of three, Michelle Hunley Smith, told her family that she was going Christmas shopping. She left the home in her green 1995 Pontiac Transport van, with the North Carolina license plate rocking on. She was headed for Martinsville, less than 20 miles away over the border into Virginia. Michelle, her husband, and their three children lived together in Stoneville, North Carolina, a small town with less than 300 families, just off of Highway 220. And only 6 miles from the state border into Virginia. Going shopping at night wasn't unusual for her, and being right before Christmas and just days before her oldest daughter's birthday, no one thought twice about it. But by midnight, Michelle's husband woke their 14-year-old daughter Amanda, worried because she had not come home. Michelle never returned, and neither her nor her van have ever been seen since. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 146 of The Vanished, Michelle Hunley Smith's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices and audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Just west of Eden, North Carolina, Stoneville is a small town sitting alongside the train tracks, home to a strip of mom-and-pop stores and a close community. Surrounding the town is a mix of farmland, open fields, as well as densely wooded areas. It's interesting to note where Michelle lived was just minutes away from where Angela Whalen Hudson from episode 136 also disappeared. There's nothing to suggest that these two cases were linked, but it can't be ignored that both Angela and Michelle went missing within 3 months of each other, and in the same part of rural Rockingham County. For this episode, I spoke with Michelle's daughter, Amanda, who was just 14 at the time of her mother's disappearance. You will often hear her refer to her mom's disappearance as the time when her mom left, which is what Amanda believed for so many years. But now, after growing older and like many family members of the missing, Amanda too began questioning whether her mom really did just leave. It never made sense to her, and now she questions everything about that time.
I was 14. I have a sister and a brother. My sister was about to turn 19 when she left. And because, you know, she left on December 9th. And my sister's birthday is December 18th. So, and my brother, he was 8 years old when she left. My sister had just got engaged and, well, she lived with us, but she was not around a lot because she had just got engaged and she was with her fiance more. I only remember the evening. I remember right up before she left. I remember me and my brother being outside. I remember her working on her van, which was, she had parked in the backyard because my dad was supposed to fix a fuse in the radio. It was a fuse in the radio that had blown. She thought that my brother had messed with the radio and messed it up, and when really he didn't, it was just a fuse blown. So my dad fixed that for her. And I remember her telling us she was going to go do the Christmas shopping, which that wasn't unusual for her at all to do it in the evening time or to go to Martinsville. And usually I go everywhere with her. I rode everywhere with her. But this time she told me I couldn't come because she was picking out my Christmas gifts. I know that she used to do a lot of shopping in Martinsville, so that wasn't unusual. Used to do a lot of shopping at night, so that wasn't unusual.
Amanda went to bed that night assuming that her mom would be home later and she would see her the following morning. But she was awoken in the middle of the night to find that her mom hadn't returned.
My dad came in at 12 a.m. and woke me up and asked, "Where's your mama at?" And I was like, "She's not back yet." And he said, "No." And we didn't wake up my brother until him then because my sister was still out with her fiance. But it was around 12 a.m. She had not come back. And so we figured something was wrong. And then I think it was the next day that my dad had called the cops up there. I remember he would not let me be around when the cop was asking him questions and everything. Me and my brother, he wouldn't let us around. So I remember the cop being there, but I don't know the conversation between them two. We were younger. He didn't want us to hear and get upset in case something had happened.
They called her grandmother, Michelle's mom, who lived in Pelham, just about 40 minutes east. If Michelle would contact anyone, Amanda believed that it would be her grandmother.
Her mom lives in Pelham. And I thought maybe she had went to see her mom because something was upsetting her and she just didn't want to tell us that part. That so after she went shopping, she might have went to see her mom. But I called my grandmother and I told her everything. And she had said that my mom had not been in contact with her or nothing. And that was also unusual because my mom and my grandma, her mom, were very, very close. And in my heart, I do feel like something happened to her. And I don't know if it happened when she left or if she really did leave or she was planning on leaving and something happened then. Because my mom was the type of woman that always, if she had a problem, she would talk it through with her mom, and her mom would always give her the right of advice and everything. And they talked on the phone 2 or 3 times a day. She would make the trip to Pelham all the time just to be able to see her mom, like at least once a week or once every other week, if she couldn't do it every week.
Amanda's sister's birthday came and went with no word, and the first Christmas without their mom was so hard on them, especially on her younger brother.
He was 8 years old, and he was very upset by it. I mean, we all were, you know. She left near Christmas. That Christmas, we did not have much of a Christmas because of it, which we didn't even care about the gifts and stuff because we were more bummed out about our mom being gone. So that's a Christmas I'll never forget.
At the time Michelle disappeared, she wasn't working and for about a year beforehand had been struggling with alcohol.
She had lost her prior job a few months before she had left because She had worked at the Eden Veterinarian. She helped out there because my aunt works there and got her a job. I found out later on, she told us that she quit, and I had found out later on that she got fired for drinking on the job. Her and my dad, they argued, and it got physical a few times, and honestly, I couldn't tell you what the arguments were about, but they would argue a lot, especially within that last year. My dad would sleeping in his bed, and my mom would fall asleep in her chair in the living room. And so I know they, you know, they weren't sleeping together like husband and wife. So, and my dad didn't like the fact that my mom hid her drinking. I knew about it, and I was the only one, and I felt, you know, I was young, and I felt obligated not to say anything to betray my mom. So I felt like I couldn't betray my mom by telling my dad that she was drinking. He suspected her of drinking, but no, he didn't actually find out until a couple of days after she left. I went up to Daddy and I told him that she drank, and he didn't seem surprised. He just asked me to, he said, "Do you know where she kept the bottles at?" And I showed him. We had a little red building outside, and it was slammed full of rum bottles, the empties, the ones that she had already drank.
Amanda also knew that other things had gone on in their marriage. Things that at the time, as a teenager, she never really considered too much. But as the years have gone on, she's thought about it a lot.
I think he just, either he assumed something, either he assumed that she just up and left, or that he was involved, and I hate to think that, but he was with someone else in July of the next year. Of course, that didn't last, but he was with somebody in July of the next year. So, and he, it turned out he had knew this woman prior to my mom leaving. He knew her from a bar he went to. My mom and my dad cheated on each other when they were together. I don't have evidence of my dad cheating. I just have from what my mom has told me things. But my mom, I knew for a fact, was cheating. If she wanted to leave my dad, that's one thing. But to leave us, I just don't see it happening. She loved us, and she bragged about us to her mom, and I don't see that either. I mean, especially after all this time.
Amanda believes that her father was home the whole time that evening her mom disappeared. She does feel, however, that there might be more to it. After going so many years without a single clue as to what happened to her mom, Amanda is now questioning everything she ever thought or believed about her disappearance.
I didn't think myself that my dad was worried as the way that I was. And now that my brother's older, he hates my mom, because he is convinced that my mom up and left, and he was so young at the time that he doesn't know things the way that me and my sister know them. And we've been waiting for a very long time to sit him down and explain to him everything that has went on so that he knows, because he just has hate in his heart for her. And he doesn't know everything. He doesn't know the fighting and the, I feel in my heart that there's no way that she just up and left. Even if she did, she would have came back for us kids, because she loved us. I mean, Randall, my brother, that was her little boy. That was her son. That was her only son. She loved him to death. I mean, she loved me to death. I was like her best friend, her confidant or whatever. I was always with her. I was the one that was always with her.
Amanda isn't really sure what the police thought at the time, because her father had never discussed it. But years later, she got in touch with Tammy, the original detective.
Tammy Howell told me that, years later, she told me that they had done a helicopter sweep over our land and all this. But I had asked my dad if he had heard the when she supposedly said it had happened, which I can't remember exactly when it was, but my dad said no, he had seen no helicopter. So I don't know whether it was the truth or not. I really don't. I mean, they may have searched Price Road, but I don't think they searched the whole entire area. I remember when I was about 17 years old, Tammy came and talked to me, and she had a big, thick file on my mom. She didn't talk to me for that long, and she told me that they were going to do everything they could to try to figure out what had happened, but that was like the last I had ever heard from her. And that was when I was 17, and I'm 31 now, so it's been a while. And now there's this new detective, Detective Michaels, and he's on the case, and he's been wanting to meet up with me. We've just, every time one of us gets ready to meet up with the other one, something happens, and it's prevented us from meeting up yet.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
So in the meantime, while Amanda waits to speak with the new detective, she's left thinking about all of the possibilities. Her mom having had enough of family life and just leaving. That just doesn't seem right at all.
If she walked away, I believe that she would have stayed gone, but I don't think she would have stayed gone this long. We're all grown now, for one thing. And also, she really loved us very much. I went everywhere with her. We were like best friends. She may have not been the most, as far as morals go, the most moral, best mom like that, but she was a good mom, and she was more along the lines. Me and her were really close. We were like best friend type closeness. That's why it makes no sense. And I know the reason that she had started drinking so much was because that she was unhappy because her and my dad was arguing all the time. And at one point, my dad was an alcoholic himself. He got better and he stopped drinking. But I know the reason she drank is because she was unhappy. with her marriage. I do know that they were unhappy. They both seemed unhappy because they always argued all the time. It's like at the end, they were staying together because of us. But at the same time, I really don't think she would have up and left me and my brother. My sister was 18 at the time, so that's why I say it like that, me and my brother. I can't imagine it. I think it's a combination of that and the fact that my dad would explode at anything. My dad didn't even like her smoking cigarettes. She had to hide that from him as well. He got extra angry at times, but that was mainly when I think she just went through so much when he was drinking all the time, and she went through so much physical stuff that even though he had quit drinking and he had gotten clean from that, she still was afraid to let him find out about her drinking and her smoking cigarettes because she hid them, and I was the only one that knew about that too. She only smoked when I went with her places. And that's why I guess I went with her to so many places, because nobody else knew that she smoked. Well, I'm sure they had those suspicions, but she didn't smoke in front of nobody, except for me.
For many years, Amanda held out hope that her mom might return. She ran through so many scenarios in her head about why her mom might have left her and her brother and sister, but she just refused to believe she would really do that. She always wondered if it could have had something to do with an incident that caused her mom to lose her license, whether she had run away from it. But even that has never made sense.
We kept hope that maybe if she did leave, that she would come back. I even kept hope for a long time, because I found out that if you commit any kind of crime, besides murder, of course, that after 7 years, that you can't be held accountable for it. So I even was thinking, well, maybe because she did lose her driver's license, she went over the yellow line taking one of my dad's drunk friends home. I think this was the same year that she left. I'm thinking, I can't say for sure. But she took one of his friends home, and she got a ticket, and she never showed up in court for it, but she wasn't supposed to be driving. They took her license. She confided that in me. She told me that when we were in Lowe's, and the man asked, he needed her ID. She was getting something, and they needed her driver's license, and she made up a story. And then when we got in the car, she told me what happened. She went over the yellow line, and they gave her a ticket, and she was supposed to go to court. Well, she never ended up going to court. And so I thought in my head when I was younger, I thought, okay, well, maybe she ran from that, even though it's a stupid thing to run from. I thought maybe she ran from that, and she would come back after them 7 years, and because she couldn't be held accountable. So after 7 years, she still didn't come back, and I was like, I pretty much knew then, I was like, something has happened to her. There's no way she would stay gone all these years. There's no way.
To this day, coming up on 17 years this December, there has never been a single reported sighting of Michelle's green 1995 Pontiac van.
I can't figure out how a van has not been spotted in all this time. A van that is big. How does a van disappear? I just don't understand.
Even with that distinct Rockin' On license plate on her car, no one has ever reported seeing it.
Yes, she loved her license plate. She actually took that license plate off of her Toyota that she used to have. She used to have a burgundy Toyota truck that she babied, and she took the license plate and put it on the green Pontiac van. She loved it so much. She loved Rockin' On.
Amanda has searched the area of road she believed her mom would have driven that night. She has no idea if any of this area, including the woods and forested areas, were ever searched properly by police or anyone else. except for the conversation she had with the detective about the helicopter. She's gone out to Price Road and walked the woods off the side in search of her mom's car. If Michelle had an accident, she may have driven off the road and the car may be hidden from sight. But she's never found anything. The weather that night was clear and it was mild for that time of year. There had been no rain and no snow. And in 17 years, no one else has ever found evidence indicating that the van had run off the road into a ditch or a ravine.
With Price Road at night, up there where my dad lives, and the way she would have went to get to 220, there's a lot of deer on the road at night. And I've thought about accidents, but of course, I myself have searched in the woods of Price Road. I've not been able to go no further, but I myself have done that, and I haven't been able to find no vehicle or anything. But, yeah, I've thought about that, and I've thought about the possibility of there being a stranger that could have hurt her or came up to her and tried to rob her and something went wrong. I've even thought about the possibility that she could have gotten into an accident and got a case of amnesia. I mean, I've had plenty of years to come up with plenty of theories, and it's kind of overwhelming because I'm not sure what to think.
One thing to always consider when someone disappears with a vehicle is if they could have gone off the road and driven into a body of water. We've seen cases where this has happened and solved many years down the road, sometimes decades later. I asked Amanda if there are any bodies of water along the route her mom would have taken to Martinsville.
No, not close to the road, further back. It would be further back in the woods. There's a pond on Price Road as you get up to near the top, but it's a little ways back in the wood. And then there's actually there's a pond on my dad's land that they actually made, but it's all growed up now and there's nobody goes down there or anything anymore. But that was further back in the woods. And my dad had made a racetrack because he raced go-kart, and we would go fishing back there as kids. But now it's all grown up, and I don't even know now if there's any water in the pond anymore. Yeah, the only way that it could have happened in her case with a body of water is if somebody put the vehicle in the body of water. There's no body of water near the side of the road.
There's also a route east to Amanda's grandmother's home, both from Stoneville, but also the roads that Michelle may have taken had she stopped by there on her way home from shopping in Virginia. There are a few ponds in the area, but nothing right off the road, which would seem logical had she veered off. If Michelle's van was taken by someone, in the scenario that someone had caused harm to her and done something with the car, it may have been dumped in a body of water. It also may have been hidden somewhere, or it could have been sold off for parts or crushed. If the car was abandoned, it would have been eventually towed, possibly by highway patrol. But if registered, the owner would be notified, and they would get a certain amount of days to claim the vehicle before it's auctioned off, or if damaged, crushed. Michelle's family had no word that anyone, anywhere, has ever located the van. With Michelle when she disappeared was her purse and wallet. In her wallet, she had her social security card, and also her two youngest children's social security cards. In the 5 years that followed her disappearance, there had been no activity on Michelle's social security number at all. And nothing unusual had come up on the kids either. About 5 years after her mom's disappearance, a letter arrived at the house.
There was one time that I think I was about 19 years old when it had happened. My dad received a letter in the mail, and it was from Cumberland, Maryland, and it was mailed to my mom. It had her name on it, but when you opened it up on the inside, it had my name on it too, and I called them, and they told me that my social security number had been used, that someone had took an ambulance ride. And I tried asking them questions, But they told me that they could not give me nothing over the phone because they could not verify that I was who I was saying I was. And I tried numerous times, but never got anywhere with that. I think it was just my social security number that had been used. I think that she had to use my social security number and put down her name, but she put her middle name down as Ann, which is my middle name. And that was closest thing that we had ever really gotten. That doesn't really help me because they need to see me in person. And I can't get to Cumberland, Maryland. So that's the only thing, the closest thing I have. I still would love to know whether that was really my mom or whether it was somebody using the identity. If somebody did hurt my mom and do something to her and they had her stuff, because she had all of her social security card, except for my sister. She had mine and my brother's in her purse.
It was at this time, Amanda remembers that her father felt that she knew where her mom might have been, that maybe Michelle had confided in Amanda that she was planning something, or hinted that she was going to leave.
He thought that when that letter had came when I was about 19 years old, he swore that I knew where she was. He was like, explain this. And I was like, I have no explanation for that. Because me and my mom were so close, I guess he figured that I knew either that or he just was throwing it off onto somebody else. I don't know. Like I said, there's many theories. I think he just thinks she's up and left. I do. I mean, the way he made it sound. And he wasn't heartbroken, but then again, he could have been, because my dad was a person that kept his emotions to himself. So he's like a brick, and it's really hard to tell whether he's sad or happy or anything. So I'm not sure if he ever let himself grieve over it or not. I don't know. If he did, he did it in privacy.
Many years after Michelle's disappearance, Amanda's father told her and her siblings that their mother had left a note. This was the first time that any of them had heard of this.
I don't want to, you know, foul my dad's name, but one of my theories is that maybe him and my mom, maybe she came back late and they got into an argument and it got a little too far and daddy accidentally did something to mama when they were fighting, and then it got covered up. Because I was told later on that there was a note left, that my mom had left a note saying that she loved us all, but that she couldn't do it anymore. But I never have ever seen this note. My dad now acts like he doesn't even know what I'm talking about. And I remember being told this when I was in my 20s, that she left a note. But me, neither nor my brother nor my sister that I know of has seen this note. Only my dad. And he only mentioned it one time. And that was in my 20s. And why not tell us when it happened so we could see the note?
The note is something that, as far as Amanda is aware, the police didn't even know about. And this makes it even harder for her to believe that it even exists.
I did not even know about the note the last time I talked to Tammy. And every time I tried to get in touch with Tammy afterwards, I had no luck in getting in touch with her. So I don't know if they know about the note. I did tell Detective Michaels that there was a supposed note left. That's what my dad had said, but that I never seen it. So I guess he may have wrote it down. And we still haven't met yet, because like I said, something's always going on. But we plan to meet up real soon.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices in premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished. Amanda learned of something else that she had never known. Her father believes that Michelle had been planning to leave.
My dad was a truck driver at the time. And there is one more thing, I guess. My dad claims that when my mom left, she's the one that handled the money. She signed my dad's name to the check because she went to the bank and she would pick up money for my dad. And my dad owned his own truck at the time, and he claimed because she took the money out of the bank account when she left, that's another reason I guess he assumes that she just up and left, he had to sell his truck. He worked for himself at that time. He had worked up for that truck, and that was his pride and joy, and he ended up having to sell it because she was taking the money and stacking it back, I guess. It's the way that he sees it anyway. I think at one point he actually did fall into bankruptcy because of everything, because I know his mom, my grandma, was helping him pay for the payments on the house and everything. So the way he made out was like that she was taking it a little out at a time. The way he made it sound was that he thought that every time she went to the bank to get out some money, that she would really get out more than she said she got out. But he didn't pay no attention because he didn't never do the bank books or any of that. My mom took care of all that. She would even sign my dad's signature for them at the bank that they were at, and they would allow her to do that because they knew they were married. But yeah, he thinks that a little at a time, and then she just eventually, she took off with money that she had.
Amanda began questioning whether he was right, that maybe, scared her father was going to flip out, Michelle just took off. Time has enabled Amanda to see things more clearly. It has enabled her to think more logically. But it has also meant that she's been able to remember things that have brought up way more questions than answers. And she is very clear that she doesn't want to implicate her father in anything. She just wants answers to the things that have really bothered her about her mom's disappearance.
Honestly, I know this sounds crazy, and I don't want to by any means drag my dad's name through the mud because I have many, many, many theories, and my dad's a good man. But right after my mom had left, it was something that always bothered me. my dad and his, would be my cousin. They did some work on our land. We have a lot. My dad has a lot of land up there with a bulldozer. And they had took off some dirt off of this hill of ours, and they had put it down in the woods. And whenever I would go down there to, like I was just walking around looking or whatever, my dad would get very aggravated with me, and he would get me out of the woods, which was also unusual because we always, as kids, we always played in the woods. And I don't want to say anything, you know, to make it seem like I, because I don't know what happened. I have no clue, but I always found that weird. He is remarried, and he doesn't really, I can't get him to talk about my mom at all. I tried just not too long ago, and he will not talk about it.
Amanda knows that her grandmother had gone as far as hiring a private investigator, but she doesn't know who that was or if the investigator ever found a single clue. Her grandmother also pushed to have DNA taken so that hopefully a match will be made someday in the future.
I do remember that she had a detective on it at one time at herself. I don't know who he was, but she had somebody on it, and that she also got my uncle to leave his DNA in the DNA database in Texas in case her body was to, you know, they could identify her. And I know that she also has, there was this woman in Arizona, and I actually spoke to this woman not too long ago. This woman's name is Michelle Smith, and she was arrested at the time my grandma had found her.
Authorities had been notified that a woman in Arizona with the same name, Michelle Smith, had shown up on their system. Amanda and her grandmother tracked this woman down, and Amanda says straight away when she heard the woman's voice, she knew it wasn't her mother. She then saw a photo, and again, she knew immediately that it wasn't her. According to this other Michelle Smith, apparently every time she gets on an airplane, she's asked if she's the missing woman. Right now, Amanda just feels lost. She knows there are numerous possibilities as to what happened, and the not knowing is the hardest part for her.
I've said many times, you know, Mama, if you're out there and you're embarrassed, you don't need to be. You don't have to be upset. I'm not mad. I just want you to come home. I just want you to get in touch with me. And I just want answers at this point. So far, nothing. I mean, I would like the person that done it. I would like them to have to pay if they done something to her. But I would love to just know what happened, just because, well, I have cancer, and I don't know how long I have left, because I don't go by what the doctors say, and I'm not sure how much time I have left. And I would like to get some answers before anything happens to me. I've always wanted my kids to be able to meet her, but that's if she's even still alive. In my heart, I feel like sometimes I feel like that she's alive, but most of the times I feel like something has been happening to her.
So what happened to Michelle on December 9th, 2001? We know that she left to go shopping across the border into Virginia, but there has never been any evidence to prove that she actually got there. But that doesn't mean that she didn't. No one has ever come forward stating that they saw her shopping. There just aren't many leads here. We know that her van has never been found either. When someone disappears with their vehicle, it always makes you wonder if they got into some kind of accident and the vehicle has been concealed. In this case, there really isn't a waterway along her trip that would make much sense. And 17 years is a long time for no one to happen upon a van that had run off the road. Still, that is always a possibility. It seems like Michelle's husband just automatically assumed that she had left. Years later, he claimed that there had been a note, but no one else has ever seen that. He has also claimed that she was taking money out of the bank and stashing it. But as far as we know, he's never provided the banking records to prove it. And what about them moving dirt off of a hill and into the woods around the time of Michelle's disappearance? Is it possible that she did just walk away? We know that her marriage wasn't great, but would she have left her kids behind? Would she have gone all of these years without checking up on them or letting them know she's okay? It's particularly cruel to think of a mother leaving her kids, telling them that she's going to buy them Christmas gifts, and then never returning, leaving them right before the holidays. And what about that weird Social Security thing? Was that just a case of identity theft, or could there be something more to it? Amanda doesn't believe that her father had anything to do with her mom's disappearance, but she does have some questions about things that happened back then, and why he never really looked for her. There's also the possibility that Michelle was the victim of a random crime. She was out late at night shopping. We know that as the holidays approach, there's an increase in certain kinds of crime. Could Michelle have been an easy target for someone? Out holiday shopping alone late on a Sunday night? Is that why her case has been so hard to solve? Because the person involved had no real connection to Michelle other than a chance meeting. Whatever happened to Michelle, her children deserve to have some answers. Spending 17 years wondering if your mom abandoned you isn't easy. When Michelle disappeared, she was wearing a green button-up shirt, blue jeans, and brown moccasins. She also had on a wedding band and a gold ring with four birthstones on it. At the time, she was described as being between 5'3" and 5'5" tall, had brown hair and hazel eyes. She has a birthmark shaped like a baseball bat on her ankle, and a scar on her upper right arm. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Michelle Hunley Smith, please contact the Rockingham County Sheriff's Office at 336-634-3232. You can follow Michelle's case on Facebook at Bring Michelle Hunley Smith Home.
No, I haven't gotten any leads. I haven't, I have plenty of people sharing it, plenty of people sharing my story and everything, but, so far I have no leads. The biggest lead I have is the thing that where I got the note, the letter from Cumberland, Maryland.
That brings us to the end of episode 146. I'd like to thank Amanda for sharing her story with us. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to contact me, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There's a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a short survey at Wondery.com/survey. Join me next week. I'll be covering a case from Kentucky. Thanks for listening.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.